I'll continue on that thought of just how we need prayer is not something that kind of comes naturally to us. We understand or have really any aptitude for it. It's a spiritual exercise that some we need to be exercised in, and so we want the Lord to teach us to pray, and so that we can develop an actual, not just that we pray, but that we actually have a prayer life, that we're a people of prayer. And the thought with that too that we looked at last week was, they didn't ask, Lord, teach us how to pray, because that's kind of the idea, well, how do I pray? And we focus a lot on the mechanics of how we're supposed to pray. What do we start it with? We have to end it in, like, in Jesus' name, amen, otherwise somehow it doesn't count, we think. There's a lot of things like that that we focus on, and we sometimes think, well, my prayer doesn't sound that great, so maybe it's not going to get through. But as we talked about, we don't want our primary focus to lie so much on the mechanics of prayer, the mechanics of prayer, of like how we pray, as much as on our motivations for prayer. Because that's what they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's what we want to do, is to pray, and as the more we do it, the more we'll understand the how part of it. And so understanding, well, what are our motivations? What should lead us to prayer? And as we look into the scriptures, we see that there's many, many reasons why we should pray. That in a lot of ways, you look at it and it's like, well, why, based on all those reasons, why do we not pray more than what we do? But not the least of those reasons for why we should pray is because of the tremendous privilege that prayer is. And we want to think of that this day, of the idea of the privilege that prayer is unto us. And so I want to think of it essentially in two aspects. First of all, the thought that with prayer we have the privilege of having a relationship with God. And it's something to think about, that to have that based on who we were before we came to Christ, there's no way we should have that. We were sinners. And that's the thing. As sinners, we are entirely and rightfully alienated from God. And it talks about that in different passages of how we were separated from God because of our sin. We're on the outside looking in. But yet, because of what He did, and through our repentance and faith in the gospel, we now can be reconciled unto a holy God. That we were at odds, that there was no relationship there. That what was there before the fall is gone, but yet this relationship can be restored. And so we see some different passages there. Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 11 of Ephesians 2, it says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, in the law of commandments contained ordinances, for to make in Himself twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And that's the thing. Before, we were on the outside. We were aliens. We were strangers. But now, through what Christ has did, that we're made near unto the Lord, that we're not strangers and foreigners anymore, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. And it's that thought that through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we both, whether Jew or Gentile, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And it's because of what Christ has done, because He took care of our sin, that now we can have that relationship with God. Colossians chapter 1, In verse 21 it says, "In you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." And that's what we were. We were alienated from God. We were enemies from God. But He has brought us to peace. That it's kind of through the gospel that it's basically really we've been fighting Him, and the gospel in many ways is our terms of our surrender, where we say, God says, "You are doomed, but I have provided a way of pardon for you, and this is your only way of salvation, to take that, where you can be reconciled unto me." That's through what He did on the cross. And all of that we see that picture and we think of it, the whole idea of when Christ died and He cried out, "It is finished," that what happened, the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, that it was that thought that before there was always these barriers between us and God. Because of our sin, God was holy and we were separated from Him. But then when Christ died for us, then that way into the holiest was made plain through the blood of Christ. And we rejoice in that. That now we can actually come to the Lord and interact with Him. And so, think of it, that we can now have a relationship with God because sin has been dealt with through Christ. That is amazing enough. But when we recognize that our relationship is not just sort of, well, God and to sinners that are now pardoned, where it's beyond that, where not just that relationship, but now that we are part of God's family, that we've been adopted into His family, and that now we, who were sinners, totally unworthy of even having a relationship with God at all, can actually call God our Father. And we see that in Romans chapter 8, in verse 15. Excuse me. Romans 8 and verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That we can look to God as our Father. And Abba is kind of the same kind of word as we would use Daddy in our present day. That we can have that close relationship to Him. That He's not just a father figure, that He's actually a greater Father than even our earthly father can ever be. And we can rejoice in that. And we see 1 John 3 and verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Just amazing that we can have a family relationship with that. And we see that in Luke chapter 11, when Jesus basically began to give a model prayer to them, that He says, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven." That we can actually call God our Father is something that is so beyond what we deserve, so much of His grace, that's something that we really want to step back for a minute and just think how great that is. And so the fact that we have such a relationship, that should motivate us to seek to value, both value and explore that relationship. That if this is what I have now that I would never have gotten myself, but God has now bestowed upon me, and the fact that He sent His Son to die so that I could now have this relationship, well, this is something very valuable. And it's not something to take for granted or just kind of look at it just in terms of like a, almost like a textbook kind of idea of it. It's like, well, no, I want to practically find out, well, what is this relationship that I can have with God, that He can be my Father? I want to actually experience that and be able to know Him and draw close to Him in that way. That it's something that it should excite us, that I as a sinner can now call God my Father and that I can come unto Him. It should just spur us to want to do that, to see, well, how close can I get to the Lord? How does this relationship work? And it's a thought that through Christ we both have access by one Spirit and the Father. It says in Ephesians 2:18. In Ephesians 3 verse 12 it says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. That it's the idea that it's not only do we have a relationship with God as our Father, it's not only that we can actually have access to Him through Christ, but it's we can come to Him with boldness and confidence. That we can come there with the expectation that He loves us, He wants to help us, He wants to minister to our needs, He knows what we're going through. It really, as you just kind of dwell upon it, it's like, wow, that He would do this for me. I want to try to take advantage of this as much as possible. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, beginning verse 19, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And so that's thought, that because He's provided this way, well, let us draw near to the Lord. Let us seek to have that relationship with Him and enjoy that relationship. It would be kind of the thing that, say, if suddenly someone gave you inheritance and said, well, you have this, you now have in your possession this mansion that is now yours and it's fully furnished and it's on a plot of ground that's like about 16 acres or something like that, and it's and you have like servants that are looking after it, it's so big, and to hear that and to say, well that's really nice, but I don't think I'll bother to actually like check it out or even concern myself with it. I'm just going to kind of stay in where I am now and stay where I'm comfortable. No, it's kind of thing, if that's been basically dumped in your lap, then it's like, wow, I want to see how this is. I want to actually check out the rooms, look at the view, see what I actually have now because of this inheritance I've got. And it's kind of the thing that this is the, and we understand in terms of our inheritance in Christ that it's so broad, but this is just one aspect of it, that the fact that we have a relationship with our Father was like, well, let's explore this. Let's see how wonderful this actually is and can be. And that's what we do through prayer, is we get to see, well, how can I relate to God as my Father? How can I have that relationship with Him? It can be a very exciting thing to ponder. But then it's not only the privilege of having a relationship with God, but also the privilege of having fellowship with God. Because the thing is we could have a relationship with God, and He could be our Father, but then we could kind of think of it, well, that He's God and we're this child, and sort of He's got plenty to do and He's kind of busy, and we don't, like we sort of, we ask Him a few things, and kind of if we get Him in a good mood, sort of like He'll maybe grant us what we want. Like it's kind of the thing where you have this relationship, Father to Son, but there's, just because you have a relationship doesn't mean necessarily that you have a closeness there. But the thing is with God, is He doesn't just want us to have a relationship where now we're connected with Him and basically we just kind of come to Him when we're really in trouble and He'll bail us out, and otherwise He doesn't want to hear from us kind of thing. That's not how it is. That He actually wants us to not simply have a relationship with Him, but also through prayer have fellowship with Him, to have communion. And that's the thing, that's the idea of the relationship that He's provided through His grace, that He's provided us with this relationship with Himself with the purpose that we might have fellowship and communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we see that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. Where John says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And that's the thing, that we have fellowship one with another because we're part of the whole family. But ultimately, it's where all of us, we have fellowship together with the Lord Himself, with the Father and with the Son. That the God is our Father, Christ is our brother, That it's something that we enjoy, that closeness, and that so much that we see how the Lord calls us unto Himself. And essentially that's what prayer is where come and be with me, have fellowship with me, let us commune together. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Don't see it there. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians. Let me check. Yes, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what He's called us to, is having fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we walk with Him, that it isn't something where we just think of Him while He's in heaven, but understanding, well, because He's God, He's omnipresent, He's with me, and because we have the Spirit within us, He's within me, and that we can have that closeness with Him. And it's a thought with so much, is that in prayer and in life with this fellowship the Lord has called us to, that one, we're invited by God into His presence, that He says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. It isn't something where we have to take a number or anything like that. It's because of what Christ has done that we can have boldness with confidence to enter in to His presence. The thought as well that the Lord wants to have us walk with Him each day, and that He walk with us, that we have that kind of closeness with Him. And as well the thought of being laborers together with Him. That's what He calls us to. It isn't just that we're servants of the Lord, even though that's true, but we're laborers with Him, that He works with us. That He is doing a great work. He wants us to be a part of it. That He ultimately will get the glory, but He wants us to share in the blessings of that work, that great harvest that He's seeking to gather. And so realizing that's just such a blessing, such a privilege, that understanding that should motivate us to want to enter into that fellowship. That if God is calling me to this, to the fellowship of His Son, that I can be close with the Lord, well, I want to see how close can I get to the Lord. Can I draw nigh unto Him? And different times, I think with all of us, we've maybe found times where we've really struggled with some, and we've had a time of prayer before the Lord, and He gives us that peace, and just the feeling of that closeness to the Lord is something that once we have it, it's something we want to have again. And we don't want to lose that. And that's the thing. It's when we think of that it's thought, well, if the fellowship with God is so glorious and so important in our lives, then that really kind of makes us give pause when we're tempted to sin, because it's like, well, if I sin, then this fellowship is going to be lost for a time, and I'll have to confess my sin and to get restored into fellowship with Him. And so I don't want, why would I go after this to lose this blessedness that I have with the Lord right now? And so it's kind of that thought that we want to have that closeness with the Lord, laboring with Him. That as it talks about in Hebrews 4, that we can obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. All that we have and all that we need, we can find in Him. That's some place where we want to stay, that we don't want to depart from that. And so when we think of that all, we recognize that prayer serves as really the means by which we enter into conversation with the Lord, we enter into communion with Him, and fellowship with Him, whether it's us making things right with Him, confessing and forsaking our sins so that He can forgive us, whether it's just trying to determine what His will is, getting His peace on what we should do, that we do that through prayer. And so the thought that the more we learn to pray, the deeper that communion and fellowship can become. That you think of it like with different friends that each of us have had over time, that there's always kind of the thing that you have people that you kind of know more or less kind of on the surface, that you're amicable with and you know kind of what they're doing, but it doesn't really go beyond that. But then you have people that are more what you would call your closer friends, where you know each other very well, you kind of you look out for each other in a lot of ways. There's just kind of that help and strength and dependency. And when you have like someone that you would say is your really close friend that you could trust with your life, that having that closeness where they kind of know what you're going to do, what you're thinking. Sometimes they can even finish your sentence for you because they know what you're going to say, what's kind of on your mind. That just when you have that relationship with someone, how blessed it is. And you know that it takes time. That first you meet a person and then you kind of make a connection, and then as you learn to trust each other, you kind of reveal more each other and things like that, and you get to be a real help and a benefit to each other. Well, it's kind of the thing is that, like it talks about in Proverbs, where it says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we understand it to be the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can have that closeness with Him, that we can have a bond with Him that goes deeper than even anybody around us can even have. That because, of course, He knows us better than anybody does. He knows us better than we know ourselves in every way of that. And so it's like if we can have that fellowship, if we can have that closeness, that communion with God, it's kind of thing, well, how deep can I get to know the Lord? How much more can I get to know Him more? And it's kind of, you think of with Paul, that it was that idea that he was always pressing toward the mark. He wasn't where he got to a point where he got to it, but it's the idea he wanted to know the Lord and the fellowship, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. And so it's that idea that if we want to have a relationship with the Lord like that, that should cause us all the more to seek to pray unto the Lord, to seek to learn to pray. That it's like we want to understand God, we want to understand ourselves. We want Him to actually practically experience that communion that we can have with the Lord. That you think of different people in the Bible, of Enoch who walked with God, of Abraham who was called the friend of God, of Moses who the Lord spoke to face to face. Like just thoughts like that. And it's thought, well, could I have a close relationship with the Lord? And it's something that it's too often I think we almost think, well, that's only for just the really like super Christians kind of thing. But it's the fact is that in a lot of ways that's part of our whole inheritance of what God's given us. Is this is what I want you to seek after. And so we don't want to miss out on that. And I think that's, you could say for a lot of like Christians down through the ages, that we can have a relationship with God, but it can be a very kind of surface relationship. That it's kind of, we come to God when we're in trouble, but then when we're otherwise, we kind of don't really spend much time with Him. But instead we realize He's really the most important person in my life. I need to spend more time with Him. And then as we do that, we realize just how much of a blessing it is. And the more time we spend with Him, then we find actually how much better our relationships are with other people too. Because we've been with Him and we've been transformed as a result. That kind of is with Moses, that he was with the Lord and His face shone. That people see that difference. And so with all of it, may the Lord help us in that. That we would just kind of have a recognition of just what a privilege of prayer is, and even the thought of what it cost in order for us to have that privilege. And because of that, we don't want to ever neglect it. We want to make as much use of it as we can. because it is so very valuable. So any thoughts or questions on what we've gone through this afternoon? No? All right, then let's turn to our final